What does it take to be a good mother? You know, Christian mothers are they're given a lot of advice to answer that question. They're getting advice from the secular side as well as from Bible-believing organizations. Never have mothers had so much advice, so much information, yet they have felt so inadequate and guilt-ridden. First of all, from the secular side, mothers are being told it takes a village to be a good mother. How many of you remember that book Hillary Clinton wrote titled It Takes a Village? Wow, two people. I think it was only like 1995 or something like that, and that seemed like yesterday to me. She said the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, comes from a Nigerian proverb. And to her, in her book, the village is talking about big government. It takes daycare providers to raise children. It takes pre-kindergarten teachers, et cetera, to raise children. These people are needed to raise your children. You, as a mother, are insufficient. You're not capable of raising your child. You need trained, professional people to raise your children. It takes a village. It takes big government to raise your children. Secondly, mothers are being told it takes a full-time job outside the home. To be a good mother, you need a full-time job. You ask, well, why do they say that? Well, according to Lisa Youngblade, she's a psychologist at the University of Colorado, she said, working moms are more affectionate with their offsprings than those who do not have full-time jobs. They also say if you stay at home, you provide a bad role model for your children. If you stay at home, you will be depressed. If you stay at home, you will have more stress. If you stay at home, you will get hurt financially. If you stay at home, and this was mentioned twice, your husband won't help out with the housework as much. So we are being told from the secular side, it takes a village, it takes big government to raise your children. We are told it takes a full-time job for you to be able to better raise your children. What are mothers being told from the Christian community? Well, thirdly, they are being told it takes a method to be a good mother. Mothers are being told to be a good mother, this is how you have to do it. First of all, follow step one, then follow step two, and then step three. You must do it this way in order to be a good mother. You must follow this method to the T, or you must follow this application to the T. And pressure is exerted, and mothers feel guilt. Let me give you an example. There are some Christian methods or applications for feeding babies. I didn't know things got this complicated. There's the natural method versus the formula method. There's a scheduled feeding method versus on-demand feeding method. Now, does Scripture teach we should feed our babies? Us dads can answer that, sure. Absolutely, it gives principles. But does it teach the application, the method that has to be used in order to be a good mother? No. There is methods being taught for educating your children. There is methods being taught even how to put your children to bed. And mothers are being fed the religion of methodology in different forms. And they try to conform to this method. And they feel guilt if they can't conform. And they get frustrated. And they feel caught in the middle. And Christianity is saying, it takes a method to be a good mother. Fourthly, Christianity is saying, it takes a psychologist to be a good mother. Christianity is saying you must be up on the latest psychology in parenting to be a good mother. There's hundreds of books full of psychology with just a little Christian veneer, and they are being pushed on mothers. You need this new knowledge to be a good mother. I mean, you never heard about the strong book, The Strong-Willed Child? You mean you never read the birth order book? I mean, in the birth order book, mothers, it tells you how that the firstborn, you're going to give the firstborn a lot of responsibility. The lastborn is predestined to be spoiled. How many lastborns do we have here? And the middle child is predestined to be neglected. I mean, how can you be a good mother without this knowledge? Shouldn't you feel guilty if you never read that book? How did mothers exist years ago without this knowledge? Can I ask you that? Were they delinquent mothers? Susanna Wesley, wasn't she a good mother when they didn't have this psychology? You know, at one time in Christianity, God was a source of knowing how to be a good mother. The strength of motherhood was theological in basis, not psychological. Scripture would be used. Pastors would be consulted. The older women would be consulted. But over the last 30 years, there has been a landslide, a tsunami. The basis of motherhood, it has shifted from theological to psychological. Hundreds of books from Christian psychologists. The pastor is no longer sufficient to help mothers. The older sisters are no longer sufficient to help mothers. The word of God is no longer sufficient. Christianity is saying it takes a psychologist to be a good mother. Fifthly, Christian mothers are being told it takes perfection to raise a child. This is a doctrine that they are being taught. Your perfection as a mother will force your child to turn out right. If you do everything by the books, if you follow to perfection all the parenting books, if you use all your strength and all your power and all your and pour all your heart into being a mother, you will produce a child who is saved. You will produce a child who is morally upright. You will produce a child who has no faults. Your works will save your child. That's what mothers are being taught. And that's why so many Christian mothers are so ridden with guilt. I've come in contact with, you know, people like this. I mean, what if I didn't focus enough on his character flaws? He might be a mass murderer someday. I didn't smack her when she lifted the lid off the cookie jar. Maybe she'll be a shoplifter someday. Our children's outcome is determined by our human effort. Their badness as an adult will be because they are victims of a poor mother. Sisters, Scripture does say that you have a lot of influence over your child. We see that much in Scripture. As you teach from Scripture to them, and as you set a godly example, you will influence your children. But Scripture also says our children have a free will. Scripture says your child has a choice to make on his own. No parent, by her effort, can overcome the free will of a child. And though a mother can influence his choice, they are still made by the sovereign free will of the child. It doesn't take perfection to be a good mother. It doesn't take a village. It doesn't take a full-time job outside the home. It doesn't take a method. It doesn't take a psychologist. Let me tell you what it takes. And this is something we don't hear a lot about in Christian circles. This is what it takes. It takes the grace of God to be a good mother. That's right. A mother by the grace of God. Grace, according to A.W. Tozer, is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits upon the undeserving. Unquote. It's an overflowing, unmerited favor of God to us personally. The unmerited, overflowing favor of God to us personally. If the United States military had not killed bin Laden when they had that opportunity, well, they would have been showing mercy. But if, on the other hand, the U.S. had offered him a helicopter to fly to another country and gave him a case of Pringles to take along for a snack on the way, well, that would have been showing grace. The undeserved, unmerited favor, benefits to us personally. Sometimes we look at grace as only applying to salvation. And it's true, it's part of salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." But divine grace, unmerited favor of God, it doesn't see its end in salvation. Rather, that's the beginning of grace. God's unmerited favor seeks to invade our life big time. His grace wants to bestow blessing and benefits to every area of our life, every nook and corner, and that includes motherhood. I don't have any methods to help you get grace, but I do have some biblical advice that I think you as mothers can grab hold to help you grab hold of the grace of God. First of all, I want to ask you mothers, view motherhood as a calling and not a circumstance. With circumstances, we try by our own strength sometimes to work out the details. But with a divine calling, we are more inclined to seek the power from the one who called us to fulfill the calling. Mothers, I want to tell you, you are called by God to raise children. You can depend on Him for the strength. This was not your choice. He called you to motherhood. Depend on Him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, "Faithful is He that called you, who also will," what? "Do it." For example, those of us on the ministry team that have been called by God to preach and do other functions, I think each of us could give testimony in our calling of how we tried to serve in our calling on our own strength instead of depending on Him. And whenever we did that, whenever we felt strong and self-reliant and well-studied, we always fell flat. It's only when we came in the strength of the supernatural calling that we had power in our ministry. Mothers, you're called by God. Live in His strength. Couples without children, if God called you to not have children, live in the strength of the calling. Singles, if God called you to be singles, live in the strength of that calling. We can all say, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10, 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Secondly, to grab hold of grace, I want to encourage you this. God gives grace to the humble. James 4, verse 6, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Grace and pride just don't get along. Each of these two, they can't stand to be in the same room with the other. Are you proud? If you think you have it all together, you have all the correct methods, you know all the answers, you are perfect, you. Well, God's grace, I can assure you, will not be there. Where there's self-reliance, where there's self-confidence, where there's self-assurance, that's the opposite of grace. Grace centers around Jesus Christ, not around self. It's a complete dependence on Him, a complete dependence on His benefits to us. The humble shout, "Lord, I need You. Help me. You called me to this task. Give me assistance. I can't do it on my own. I'm helpless." Only the humble mother obtains the grace of God. Thirdly, I'd like to ask you, view his grace as being sufficient. Until we get to the point where we realize the sufficiency of his grace in our lives, we will continue by human efforts to fulfill our callings. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Don't you like that? All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. His grace is sufficient for everything. Ephesians 1, 18 to 20. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power." His grace, his power active in our life. If only as mothers, if your eyes could be open, and you could see the exceeding greatness of his power towards you. He is standing there with arms outstretched. He wants you to rely on him more. He wants you to center around him more in full dependence. His grace is sufficient. Dealing with depression, moms, his grace is sufficient. Dealing with too many diapers and sleepless nights, his grace is sufficient. Dealing with stress and frayed nerves, his grace is sufficient. No matter what obstacle you meet, whether a mother or even a father or a childless couple or a single person, his grace is sufficient. Grow in grace. Grab it. Keep getting more dependent on him. Fourthly, I encourage mothers, come boldly to the throne of grace. And this sounds like such simple advice, but it's biblical. Hebrews 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in..." What? Yeah. In time of need. Grace to help in time of need. Like when there's vomit all over the pillow at 3 a.m. Grace to help in time of need. Like when your child's struggling with schoolwork and you get frustrated and feel so helpless. Grace to help in time of need. Like when your child is diagnosed with Lyme's, or cancer, or juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, or anything else. His grace is sufficient. Grace to help in time of need. Like when you get the call about the accident your son or daughter was in. You have a need. His grace is sufficient. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Lift your hands to God. Tell him boldly. Be honest. Tell him exactly how you feel. Tell him you're helpless. You're dependent on him. He will help. His grace is sufficient. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Perhaps we need to throw away some of those new child-raising books. Throw away our psychological mindset. Throw away our self-sufficiency. Throw away our self-assurance, our self-confidence, our self-dependence. and instead try old-fashioned prayer. His grace is sufficient in 2011, guaranteed. And as you pray for his divine favor, he will help. He will open scriptures to you like never before. He will reveal in his word the answers to your life. He will send others in to help you deal with your circumstances. He will send others to intervene and help. I want to close with this question. Will we drop our pride, our self-sufficiency, and self-reliance? And instead, will you reach up and take hold of grace? What a joy it will be. No more guilt. No more huge self-efforts. Just a calm dependence and confidence in his grace. He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. It doesn't take a village or an outside job to be a good mother. It doesn't take a method or a psychologist to be a good mother. It takes the grace of God. A mother by the grace of God. May God bless each of you mothers as you go from this place, depending more on the sufficiency of his grace.